This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Evening, Daniel.
Evening, Michael. Hope everybody's well and hangovers have all worn off after the celebrations from yesterday.
Well, you think of celebrations, all of a sudden everyone's all doom and gloom after the Buddy Sheffield results. It's, I mean, what happened today wasn't exactly a massive shock. I wouldn't say it's, you know, it's welcome, but I think the way some of the Twitter posts and stuff have been, it's just like we've been relegated again. It's like, keep calm, it's in our hands.
I told you we should have had them shirts printed up, didn't I, for yesterday, but you didn't listen. What an opportunity we missed there. Keep calm and beat Plymouth.
Well, we did part of it, mate. So firstly, sorry to everyone, we're a bit late. Daniel, unfortunately, has the Von Trapp family. As anyone who follows the pod knows, he's got about 15,000 children and a bit of a little mini emergency, but I think we got there in the end. So, yeah. Anyway, Mr. Buxton, you wanted to do a Spaces tonight. Do you want to just tell everyone what the actual kind of topic is? This isn't a review of Plymouth or anything like that in terms of granular detail. That will come in the normal pod. But you wanted to have a conversation about safety, where we are. Okay. I suppose the direct question to you straight away then. Do you think we are?
Yeah, so I do, yes. I think we are. I think we've done enough. I can't see us needing anything else as it stands, but there'll still be just that little nervous bit, won't it, where do we need another point? So I was just interested, how does everyone feel? Like, I think everybody felt at full-time yesterday that we were safe, but has that Sheffield Wednesday result just maybe put the jitters in amongst a few people? So, yeah. Yes, that's the main question. I suppose the secondary question is, where do we go from here? I suppose that is mainly for a later date, I think. I think we need more time. I think we just wanted sort of half an hour. I thought we've done enough of these in doom and gloom times. Yesterday was a bit of a celebration, wasn't it? So it was nice to get people on and get chatting to people in the good times as well.
Yeah, I mean, you say celebration. you know me, I like to be the yin to your yang, if you like. So, yes, okay, we won. Great. We absolutely needed to. We know that. We've talked about that enough. Even if we stay up, let's not lose sight of the fact that this season has been a complete and utter failure. Let's be honest on that route. It has been. It's not been good. I mean, I saw some posts today, and I think it's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of these types of comments, I think, as we go through the summer around, you know, certain players. And obviously, I think Hoover was obviously one that was mentioned. There was a few other people like Iverson, and I know we've been linked to was it Johansson? I think the goalkeeper again. I think that one's been linked for £1 million. Again, there the start of the rumors coming up, but you know, when we think about this team as a whole, and I'll let you be positive in a second while I try and bring you back down to earth a little bit. We think about this team as a whole. Let's be honest. These players are nowhere near as good as we thought they were, because for what, 44 times this season, okay, there's been some good games during that, But over the course of 44 matches, they've barely scraped being good enough. So when we talk about teams and players and stuff next season, whilst I think we definitely need a number of players, we've got to be very, very careful going down the 7-10 type route, because I think that's clearly, you know, it's not worked this season, let's be honest. There's probably 4 to 5 players that you say you're going to have to build this team around. The rest of them can go for me, by and large. I think there's been a couple of shining lights, but I'll let you rebuff my negativity. Not negativity. I think it's just my viewpoint. Let's put it that way. But yeah, it's great result yesterday, but still, when you make a point about the whole season and celebrating, it's more relief than celebration, to be honest.
Yeah, I think celebration was not the ideal word to use, because we shouldn't need to be celebrating securing safety with 2 games to go. However, I think you can, after the season we've had, it was just nice to be able to draw a line under it, so to speak, or hopefully draw a line under it. And then obviously now we can sort of move forward, can't we, look to making sure it doesn't happen again and where we sort of go from here. But yeah, I think that celebration was definitely the wrong terminology to use. It's not something to be, Luton staying up in the Premier League this season, that would be a celebration. Yeah, that would be an achievement for them, wouldn't it? Us confirming that we're going to be in the Championship for another year isn't something that we should majorly be, bouncing off the walls about, is it? Let's face it.
No, I want to be interesting to ask you, and I mean anyone else as well, actually. I mean, we'll do a proper end of season review like we always do, and we'll go into a bit more granular detail and players and all this stuff. But I was speaking to my dad today, and he was like, "Look, if we stay up, he would see anywhere in the top half of the table as being a success." And my instant gut thing was, oh, the top 10 is really it, or top 12 is that really our height? But he's got a point, right? We've barely scraped being a bottom half team for the vast majority of the time we've been in this division. So I would be keen to understand what people's versions of a successful season would be, actually. Now, not this season so much, we know where we're going to finish, but as far as next season as well, just very briefly looking ahead, I'd be very keen to see what everyone else would see that. I think based on what we've done, for me, it's nice to turn around and go, oh, we'd love to get playoffs, we'd love to do this, that, and the other. I mean, we're going to have to do some incredible business to be anything other than maybe aiming for top half, as much as we'd love to turn around and be, we're talking about playoffs. Arguably, and quite ironically, for a good chunk of this season, we haven't been that far away from the playoffs, which is quite incredible, really. But
that's just the Championship, isn't it, though? Let's be honest. You're never more than 2 or 3 wins away from going from a playoff battle to a relegation scrap.
No, it doesn't. And I think Becky just has made a comment as well. She says, you're spot on, Mike. Staying up doesn't escape the fact that this has been the worst season since we've come down. They prove now and again the kind of performance we can produce. And I absolutely agree, Becky. On a good day, we're good. Now and again isn't good enough. We couldn't grumble if we did get relegated, if we're honest. No, I agree with you. I think we've managed to scrape a couple of results. There's been some really good performances. I mean, when you think about, when we went, see, obviously we had Middlesbrough in that run. We went obviously away to Hull, wasn't it? And we did really well against Hull. We've actually won some games, and in theory, you turn around and go, well, how on earth have we managed to pull that off when we've been really poor the previous week? And I think that alludes back to Dan, to what you said, where it's competitive, anyone can beat anyone. But if we hadn't had those little couple of runs, let's be honest, we'd be probably down now. There's such thin margins, really, really thin margins. But 100% back. I agree that we can probably, for me, I'm with you. I think we can probably say we're safe. I don't see when I look at like Sheffield's run, for example, I mean, they're a team, Dan, I've said to you a few times this season, like, don't underestimate them. Now, when I look ahead to their next couple of games, Sheffield Wednesday at home to West Brom. Now, we know obviously where West Brom are, and well, they've got playoffs, haven't they? So if I'm West Brom, I'm going into that game thinking, right, don't get an injury. Firstly, because of the playoff run, but secondly, I'm going on holiday this summer. I don't want to be injured and coming back to the club for the next God knows how many months. So I'm going to take it easy against Sheffield Wednesday. I want to make sure I get through this game because I want to be involved in that playoff run. I want to play at Wembley, you know, all these business. So Sheffield have got probably the upper hand there. Sunderland, we know, have been crap, let's be honest, for months now. They've really plummeted. And I think they're very, very lucky that they started to plummet when they did, because any earlier than that, they could be in trouble eventually. So yeah, when I look at Sheffield, I think Sheffield will be okay, which obviously then brings into the fact that you've got Huddersfield and Birmingham down there. I mean, it's very, very hard to look past, for me personally, Sheffield being safe, because I think they will be. I think they'll stay up with us, which is an incredible management job, by the way. They looked dead and buried months ago. I mean, would you argue, or probably would you rather agree, that Sheffield are probably fine? I mean, I would be surprised more now if they didn't stay up, personally.
Yeah, I think that they deserve to stay up. Whether they will or not, I think out of the clubs down there, they definitely deserve to. Sheffield Wednesday, I think they've, since Danny Rawls got in there, I think they were dead and buried, really. It was an easy for them to sort of write the season off and sort of think, well, we'll go, you know, we'll hit back in League One next year and be the big dog down there, you know, massive ground, a lot of history. You know, they're obviously the biggest, but I imagine one of the bigger budgets. And I think they didn't do that, did they? You know, Danny Rawls got them organised. I think they are, they fight for everything. And, you know, they aren't affected technically and ability-wise. I wouldn't say they're a fantastic side, but you know what? Individually, when they come together, the sum of their parts is greater as a unit than it is individually. And I think that's something that should be applauded, really. I think to play for that long, because it's not as if he's come in with 8-10 games to go in the year and he's galvanised him. He's been doing this now for over half a season, and I think that's a, you know, like I say, he took a little bit of time to get his message across, what he wanted, get everyone together, but now, you know, like I say, they're sort of firing. So I do think they'll stay up, and I think it's thoroughly deserved that they do. I think there's other clubs down there who, if they'd taken the same approach as Sheffield Wednesday, and you could argue Stoke until recently could have been one that's maybe been a little bit more disjointed than, and not, definitely not as united as Wednesday have been. Pardon the pun there. but yes, like I say, they've been, if we'd have been sort of united, I don't think we'd have been anywhere near the relegation zone if we'd have shown the sort of the fight and everything that they have this throughout the season. So yeah, for me, I'll tell you what I'll do, let's have a look at what the table is right now. So the table shows that you have got, Rotherham have already gone, obviously, 23rd in the division is Huddersfield, 44 points. Remaining fixtures, Birmingham at home, Ipswich away. I think even if they beat Birmingham next week, I can't see them getting anything at Ipswich. So I think they're really going to struggle to get out of this now. Obviously, Birmingham, they are in the relegation zone. They've got 46 points. They've got, obviously, Huddersfield away next week. And then Norwich at home. Again, that's a really tough final day fixture. I think one thing to note as well, none of the teams towards the bottom play each other on the final day. So there's not as if there's any team there that's got, say, a in race course, easy fixture. That they've all got, like I say, Norwich, Huddersfield have got Ipswich, Sheffield Wednesday, they've got Sunderland, so they're, you know, mid-table. Plymouth on the final day go to host Hull. So again, Hull, a team who are flattered to deceive, really. I think if you look at their lineup, so they've got some fantastic individuals, and hope really that they were sort of better up the league, higher up the table. If they were Stoke, if that was the Stoke side, I'd hope we'd be further up the table with, you know, some of the attacking talents, especially that Hull have got. But at the same time, do you really want to be playing that kind of side with that much talent and flair when they've got no pressure on them on the last day of the season?
When you mentioned about Birmingham having Norwich, I see Birmingham beating Norwich in that scenario. And the only reason, again, is similar to, I agree with you about Ipswich and, Ipswich are going to win that. They're going to need to win it to probably get automatics guaranteed. But Norwich, again, are going to go into that and need to rest players. You know, they're going to, if everything stays the same, if I'm not mistaken, I think Norwich will play Leeds. I mean, if I'm again a Norwich player, I'm going into that resting my legs. You know, if that manager's got any know-how whatsoever, which clearly he has, he's a good manager, he will not be asking those players to bust a gut to go into anything other than a real solid tackle that they know they can win. And, you know, you can say all players won't, you know, they've still got to, you know, perform for the fans. You can't tell me that a single Norwich fan will complain if they turn up on that game and just lose it at a whimper, because, again, they need to be fit. Every single team in that playoff place, who, let's be honest, they're all nailed now. That's done. It would take a ridiculous turn for Norwich to drop out now and be replaced by Hull. So that's pretty much done. So any team who was facing anyone else for the rest of this season down that relegation zone, I would probably favour the team in the relegation zone or just outside over anyone in them playoffs for the reason I've just mentioned. I struggle to see past a defeat to Norwich on that last game, if I'm honest with you.
Well, Norwich have got Swansea this coming week. And obviously, if they do lose that or if they don't win it, the gap to Hull is 6 points, but Hull have got 3 games left. So if Hull win their remaining 3 games, Coventry are 9 points behind, got 4 games left. It's going to take all 4 games. You know, Coventry has to win all 4 remaining fixtures, or Hull win all their last 3. Coventry have got Hull on this week, won't they? So that'll eliminate one of them, at least. And they've also got Ipswich as well, the midweek before the final game. I think with Coventry, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't lose to Hull midweek. And then obviously they've got Blackburn, Ipswich and QPR as their final 3 games, which could probably help Blackburn and QPR possibly to stay up, because I think the way they've sort of lost that match today, it takes some recovery, doesn't it? This late in the season, if you are, I say, that Hull game, they've got to get themselves back up for that. If they don't get a positive result there, they know their sort of chances of the playoffs are gone. And like I say, when you just had that happen to them in the FA Cup semi-final, they're going to be on the floor, aren't they? They're going to be they'll feel the legs. They're going to struggle to find that motivation for those last few games. I wouldn't be surprised if that plays into QPR and Blackburn's hands as well, having games against Coventry. I mean, as well, Mike, just to bring you back in there, I mean, Southampton, we were saying that you're saying there, aren't you, about resting players and that. I think it's, I wouldn't, if I was going into the playoffs and you knew where you were going to finish, you knew what position you were in and you were, you know, there's nothing you could do, that final game, I don't know if I would rest players in that. I understand what you're saying about maybe not going 100%. Although if you've got somebody chasing your position down in the team, you might not be able to afford, you know, to do anything but 100%. I think it's not that last game, but the second to last one. I think you can chuck a few, you know, rest a few, and then bring them back for that final game just so they've got that, you know, they've got the minutes and the legs ready for the playoffs. So that Southampton game for us might just, you know, like I say, play into our benefit, to be fair, because they've got big games. You know, they play Leicester on Tuesday. You know, that's a big match. If they lose or draw against Leicester, I think that's their automatics pretty much done, isn't it? So expect then that is a positive for me, for us going into our weekend game. And then obviously they've got Leeds. I mean, imagine playing Leeds on the last day of the season, and then a couple of weeks later they might be playing them again in the playoff final, might they?
You know, I think what most neutral fans would like to see is an Ipswich Norwich playoff final. That's what I think everyone would like to see. I know I certainly would. But yeah, I think, you know what, I think Ipswich will be fine purely because of the run-in that they've got. I agree. I think they'll beat Huddersfield and they'll be all right. Plymouth, obviously, we've just beaten. They could very well drop into that. I think they've got Millwall next, haven't they? I think Millwall at home. And then, if not mistaken, I think they've got... Oh, that's game of the season. I've got a fixture in front of me, sorry. But either way, I think there's very, very much... They're going to struggle. I think Millwall will beat them. So we could see them being dragged into it anyway, but I think they could be firmly dragged into it. So Sheffield would be safe. Birmingham touch and go. And Plymouth could very well be in there. I mean, Blackburn, arguably, you could say that Blackburn aren't safe again all of a sudden. So, you know, Blackburn have got Coventry and Leicester. Very, very difficult games. But I'll go back to the comments just very briefly, Dan, because we've had a number more come through, mate. So Kieran Downs, Bay Junho tore the Plymouth defence apart as well. He did. He, you know, for a player whose first season in this division, you know, we came in, a lot of people thought that, you know, again, they always go back to, you know, Son at Spurs, and naturally just because of the, you know, nationalities and all that, that, yeah, they'll try and compare the two, and I think it's very dangerous to do so. But for a first season in the league, is absolutely fantastic how he's done, and if that's how good he is now, the potential for him next season is huge. If we can keep hold of him and Berger, I think we've got the makings of a good midfield. It's then about adding some more quality to it. Very big ask to keep hold of both of them, if I'm honest. But yeah, so Kieran says as well, Dan, and I'll get your thoughts on this, because I think we can't ignore it because it's been a topic. And we're not going to cover too much on this so much, really. But Kieran says, Josh Lorraine has proved Radio Stoke wrong after the game because he was brilliant. Now, we'll make one comment to the Radio Stoke thing, because it's not something we're going to probably cover in the main part. We don't give it too much airtime. We all know that was incredibly bad timing, right? Even if they got opinion, and Ange and whoever the other guy was, never heard of him before, whoever he was, like, they're entitled to their opinions. I do think it was extremely bad timing by releasing that at that point. I didn't listen to the full podcast that they did. I don't know if it was out of context or whatever it was. What I would say is that Ange got an absolute load of flack from it. The other guy seemed to get off a bit scot-free for me, who said equally, if not more, damaging words, in my opinion. So I think he should count himself very, very lucky that he didn't get more abuse. And I think it's because of naturally who Ange is, she got some. But I do think that, you know, unfortunately, you know, we've got a lot of people at Radio Stoke. It's not those individuals like, you know, Rob and Lucas and stuff. I've got absolutely tons of time for those guys. But whoever released that, it was really badly thought of, right? It's shocking timing. But what I would say is, though, Luke, the amount of abuse that some people do get just for making a comment, which he's very entitled to, I think sometimes can be taken too far. And I think there was definitely an element of taking it too far with some of the comments that came in. Again, entitled to opinion, wrong time, absolutely. But yeah, some of the abuse that she got. And from, you know, again, I'm sure, you know, Ange would have had some involvement with the whole injury situation with the ladies player as well. I'm sure she would have been an advocate for trying to get that sorted. So I think I'm not Angie's biggest fan in the world, not claiming to be, but let's just be a little bit careful on how we speak to people sometimes. I mean, it's my opinion. Everyone's entitled to theirs, but I just think it's very easy to go after people. And I think, you know, she's got an opinion. She's entitled to it for me. So yeah, just a brief comment. I mean, Dan, do you want to say anything about that before we quickly move on to the other topics?
The positive side of it, I will say, is that Josh Lorraine was fantastic yesterday.
Yes.
Video or no video. Yeah, I thought he was. I mean, to be fair, I don't think anybody had a bad game. I don't think many of them put a foot wrong, to be fair. It was really, really good. But yeah, Lorraine, in midfield was fantastic. Him, Jordan Thompson, Condal as a midfield. I imagine it wouldn't be no Berger, no Baker. Probably not what people would consider ideal or first choice. But you know what? They were fantastic.
Yeah, and it's a question, isn't it? Because, like you said, I mean, Lorraine was good. I think he's been good since Shuey came in, to be honest. I wouldn't say he's done anything like earth-shattering, but he's definitely picked up. Kundal's had a couple of good games now. And, again, we've talked about players next season and all that. I mean, I certainly don't think we would have seen the best of Kundal yet. I think that's very clear to see, because I think he's been relatively anonymous bar these couple of games. So I think it'd be interesting to see whether, you know, again, with a full preseason and Shuey doing his, putting his own stamp on it, I think, which will happen in the summer, we'll see a different type of style, I think, next season. It'd be interesting to see, you know, do we already have the players in the door? If you can keep hold of Berger, keep hold of Bay, you know, maybe Kundal can come in. Josh Lorenz there, you've got Baker there. We might not need to go absolutely gung-ho in the summer in terms of midfielders. We certainly need to strengthen in defence and up front. That's no secret. But maybe midfield actually isn't as bad as I think we've probably seen at times this season. A couple more comments anyway, because a few more. But yes, cheers for that, Kieran. Month says, are you guys happy with Schumacher to continue next season? Very briefly from me on that one, I know Daniel probably got something to say about it. Yes, largely because, and have you probably heard me say this month before, we can't keep changing managers every 5 minutes. It hasn't worked previously, so there's no reason to think changing another manager would do the same again. I still think he's got a hell of a lot to prove to me, to everyone. I want to see how good he is tactically. He's made the sensible decision on, you know, not going with his own philosophy as such. You know, yes, in terms of his man management, it seems like he's got that right, but we obviously haven't seen his formation, his tactics so much, I don't think, yet. So he's got a hell of a lot to prove, and I think he deserves the time to prove it, is where I kind of stand. I'm not sure if you're any different on that, Dan.
I'm pretty much with you. I think he deserves time. I think he'll become a better manager having for what he's done since December when he's come here. Because obviously he's had a really successful time in his managerial career so far. I think there's obviously something there for me. He appears to have a good relationship with John Walters, which is going to be important. And let's be honest, the squad, the fans as well, the fans are united behind him. The atmosphere the last couple of games and the support he's got. I mean, I don't know, it might have been... You know, someone could say on the odd game for yesterday, he might have been swayed by who we were playing, and you know, we'll show them how much we're behind him because we're playing Plymouth. But for me, even the game before against West Brom, there was massive support for him, so the fans are behind him. It'd just be a bit silly right now, I think, for the club to act again, and I think you can't drop a manager into a team mid-season that's playing absolutely dreadfully, which is why we had the change of manager. His targets haven't really hit who he wanted in January. You know, I imagine he didn't get exactly who he wanted. He just, obviously, apart from probably million. And you expect him to produce miracles. Or I know, let's be honest, we've sunk a lot deeper than what we thought we would have been, you know. Like, I'll be honest, yeah, I'm not going to say it's been great or it's acceptable to be where we are. But I think if we reset the thing again now in the summer, we're just, again, going back to the beginning. Like I say, give him time, give him, you know, this season as well. He'll have improved. Hopefully we can improve. Let's, you know, get behind him, back him, and see where we go, because some of the stuff we play is fantastic when we get going. I know you've had your hand up for a while, Becky. How do you feel on the whole Schumacher situation?
I'll come back to that in a minute, Dan. I was waiting to speak. I just want to rewind quickly to the bit about the conversation about Laurent on Radio Stoke. I just wanted to give you the context into what the conversation was. Rob Adcock pulled up some stats that he'd been sent, who I think it was from Whelan, because he was slating Josh that weekend on the radio, and Rob said that the stats were angrily circled because they were that poor. I can't remember which game it was for. And I felt like it was a bit of a loaded question, and that's how the conversation went into it. But it wasn't just those two slating him. They all were. I just think the reaction's just been a bit over the top. But I will drop it there because I know we've moved on from that. I just want to give you the context with Mike saying he'd not heard, you know, the context of the conversation. But yeah, I'm more than happy for Schumacher to be in charge next season. I would like to see a more settled side. I can understand why he's made as many changes as he has, and I thought he got tactically spot on yesterday. Like you've touched on, I thought JT, Kundal and Laurent were fantastic in the middle. I'd like to see what Schumacher does with a transfer window and with a more settled side next season.
Do you think the six substitutions a game is a negative? You know, look, you probably have my feelings on it before. I don't think any successful team changes six players a week unless you're Man City, right? And I'll stand by those feelings. Do you think that is something he needs to find his call and just swap here and there?
I'm not really. I don't know whether it's because, you know, games come thick and fast, but I aren't really sure his thought process behind all the changes every game. But obviously we're not seeing him training in the week. You know, he's doing what he feels is best for each game. And you know, yesterday it worked. And against West Brom it worked. It's just, I'm not really sure of his thought process for so many. It's like half the team every game, isn't it?
I think he sort of said that it's sort of analytical based. So he'll sort of look at, I think first and foremost, he'll sort of converse with the physios and people who are, you know, can give these high levels and high intensity so they can do sort of the pressing and that. But also he'll look at like the opposition and see, well, you know, their left back's quite dangerous going forward. So we need somebody on him who can sort of counter that or maybe push them backwards. They are quite strong at set pieces, so we'll stick more area, you know, people who are sort of taller or better in the air, whereas the counter of that would be you can have more ball playing people if at the back if they give you more time on the ball. So I think all those kind of conversations come into it. There's probably a lot that will go way over my head. but that's as far as I believe he picks, literally looks at ways that he can pick apart the opposition and it picks a team according to that. So like the strength of the players he picks is to counter and to both nullify and make an impact against sort of the players they're playing against.
Like your thoughts on this, you know, there's no denying that Bay is such a talent, but have you thought that someone might come in for him in the summer?
My gut thought with that one personally is while he's been good in chunks of moments, he's not blown the league apart. I think that works now in our favour. I think we know how good he is in terms of, you know, the bits we have seen. I still think that people will look at that as, okay, how much is it going to cost you to get him out of the club? And who's going to want him? He's not Premier League ready, let's be honest. You know, I don't think any Premier League clubs are going to come for him yet. So then it's going to be, okay, well, maybe it's a team that come down from the Premier League. They're going to ask us, obviously, know how much we want for him. And I think we would probably quote them quite a big number right now, to be honest with you. I'm pretty sure we would. And I don't think he's done enough to really show that he's a, you know, top two, top three type championship club yet. I think that works in our favour and that we will probably get another season out of him. And I think, arguably, same for Berger. So I think we might get lucky and keep them for another season. But if they kind of, you know, carry on next season as they have this year and maybe improve on that, I don't see them being here after that. Maybe we'll get to January and keep them. But, it's a fair point, but I just don't think they've all done enough to to blow anyone else away just yet.
I love him. I think he gets better every single game, doesn't he? He seems to be fitter. He seems to be sharper. He seems to be more confident. He seems to be... He loves the physicality of it, which was a real worry. I think it was sort of for me when he come in and just... You think that, you know, he's sort of getting knocked about once in the first few games, and people, especially when he went... Why? And you think of those first few matches he played left wing, and people were able to sort of box him away into a corner, weren't they, and just take, you know, just literally dispossess him. And, you know, they could just step across him, take the ball off him. He sort of looked a bit lost. And now he plays out there, and he absolutely loves it out there. And, and then obviously they could just drop the end the other week, just then chucked him back into the middle, and he just, like I say, controlled and dominated the game from the midfield. I think he is going to be a real superstar, and he is one of, I think him and Berger are Premier League players in waiting, and I do agree with Mark, I don't think it'll be this summer for either of them, but it wouldn't surprise me if both of them have interest. I don't think Stoke will sell. I think Stoke, with both players, see that now they will make a profit, a substantial profit on both of them. But I think they know that in 12 months' time, they'll make a lot more. And also, we may be a lot further down the line as well. And I think that's what might keep them here for another 12 months. I don't think we're in any rush to sell. And I think that they'll know, they'll be fully understanding that there's a lot more money, like a lot of higher bids will be coming for them in 12 months' time than there is now.
Arguably, what you could possibly say would change that is, as we know, right, if we look across this team, we're probably going to need at least 5 or 6 first-team players, realistically, for me, next season. What might change it is if we go into the market and we find that the players that we want were being priced out of time and time again, and we don't want to end up with just settling for whatever we can get. I think the only time that we might get our resolve tested quite a lot is if someone does come in and offer decent, not amazing, but decent money for both of them. If the club turn around and think, okay, we can sell Berger. We'll keep Juno, but we'll sell Berger because that's going to generate us, I'm just throwing a number out there, right? £6 million. I think he'll be, in long term, Berger's going to be worth a hell of a lot more than that, but £6 million. And if they think they'll turn around and go, oh, okay, well, we still need a centre back and a left back and a striker, £6 million. Plus the £1 million we've got left, yeah, we'll take it. I think those are the only scenarios for me where I see they might just buckle. I don't know how much money we're going to have to spend. We have, obviously, we have just signed a lot of players, a matter of months ago. So I think that's the one negative, is how much have we used up of that. I think it'd be interesting. There's some players we're going to go. I think we'll sign, I think JT, we'll get another extension to his contract. Won't surprise me, I think. And Stevens will get another one. Obviously, we've got Wesley, who's going to be gone. Obviously, Dwight Gale's already gone, so there's some big wages going there. I think that will help. But yeah, I think it's... I don't want to see either of them gone. I don't think either of them will go. But we'll see how this window unfolds, I think, as to whether we get our hand forced at some point. Very, very interesting. Elliot, I'll bring you in quickly here, mate. I'll bring you in and let me just go back to some of the comments. I don't really want to be rude and miss any of the comments. So if you can just all chuck yourselves on mute, that'd be great. Month says success next year is promotion. Look, I've made my thoughts clear on that one, Month. I think to get promotion next season is completely unrealistic, unfortunately. I wish I could say something else, right? It would be one hell of a window, and Schumacher nailing his formations and tactics and everything else to do that. I totally understand what you're saying, but I just think promotion is a couple of seasons away yet, is my gut feeling. I really hope I'm bloody wrong, trust me. Martin says, evening. Dan, it's not a celebration for sure. It's more relief that the season's over and we remain a championship club. Success for me has been nowhere near the relegation fight, so 10th to 13th. Yeah, I'm with you, Dan. I agree with that one. Also just chucked me back. Brilliant. John Oldfield says, Blackburn are dark horses. Go down with the last two games. I wouldn't rule out Plymouth either based on yesterday. No, they look poor. Stephen says, Tarrys and Loren were pretty happy to celebrate after the game with their dancing on the pitch. If only they could have played like that all season. Stokey Tom says, if Huddersfield beat Birmingham, Birmingham can't catch us, and Huddersfield will be 3 points behind us with a goal difference of around 10 worse than ours. If Birmingham beat Huddersfield, Huddersfield can't catch us, and Birmingham will be 1 point behind. That's a long one. This is if and when we lose to Southampton. Adding to that, Sheffield Wednesday have got to win both of their games, as well as us losing both of ours to overtake us. The only way they overtake us is by drawing one game and winning the other by about 15 goals. So basically, we need Sheffield Wednesday to draw or lose on Saturday, because one of the Birmingham or Huddersfield won't be able to catch us no matter what the result. Not to mention QPR and Blackburn are very difficult last two fixtures. I'll pause there. Excuse me. I shall pause there and I'll bring in our new speaker, Alex.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Beth, you want to stay all with us, mate? Evening, Alec. You're right, mate?
Yeah, mate. I'm good.
Cool. Yeah, crack on, mate. Whatever you want to talk about. We've spoken about a lot already, but yeah, crack on.
Yeah, I think the main thing really was like being safe and knowing we're a championship club. I think we've got to get the recruitment right this time. I mean, and we have signed great players like Juno, we've signed Berger, we've signed Chamadou. I just think that a lot of the signings, I think, have been like Ricky Martin, Alex Neil signings. And other signings have been Dublin signings. And I think you can see that with the signing videos that we did. Jared Dublin wasn't in videos for like the Wesley signing, for instance, and the Michael Rose signing. And you just get the feeling that they weren't his players, so he wasn't going to comment on it. And I think we just have to give free rein to him, because if you can find a gem like Juno and Berger, imagine what you'd be able to find with like a free rein transfer, even Million Man Hoof as well. So I think the biggest thing for me has to be recruitment, and I would give 100% of the responsibility to Jared Dublin, because that's where we've fallen down in recent years has been our recruitment. We've either signed superstars who kind of think they're too good for Stoke, or we've just signed people who aren't at the level. So getting that in between, like Dublin seems to have got, or even somebody much better on a smaller fee, I think if we do that, then we could be going places.
I wonder if we'll go back into the Korean market.
It wouldn't be a bad shout. I mean, certainly I think Bay will put in a good recommendation. But I mean, not even just there. You could even go like other different countries as well into those other areas. But, you know, I think just giving Dublin that free rein allows you the opportunity to do that. And I feel like last season we didn't give Dublin a free rein to do it. We got some good players from him, like the Juno one, like the Berger one, the Million Man Hoof one. But I think with a completely Dublin transfer market, I think we would do very, very well next season, because that defence for me just is an Alex Neil defence, and that's where a lot of the goals have been coming from. You've got, you know, McNally and Rose have probably been the most two consistent partners, and they're not, either of them aren't really that great. I haven't been like solid throughout the whole season. They were quite good on yesterday, but they've just throughout the whole season and long term, they're just not it. And yeah, I just feel like the getting like a Dublin free transfer would solidify the defence a lot more than it has been.
What I'd be interested to understand as well is the dynamic of who signs who, right? So obviously Walters is in now. He's changed his job title. Yeah, I think that just means more off the field stuff. But I'd be very intrigued to see who makes that final decision again this time. So is it going to be a Jared who will give the presentation to, you know, to Walters and obviously Schumacher, and then is Schumacher going to be the one who has the final say? Because I think that it was alluded to previously that it seemed to be more Ricky making that final call. Yes, the others would have a decision to make, but Ricky would make the call. Now, if that is the way that it kind of was on a lot of occasions, it'd be interesting to see how that works. Because for me, and I understand we've got a recruitment market, we've got, I think, is it 40 scouts? I think globally we've got at the club, which is a lot of scouts, right? It's a lot of people. And for me, Schumacher's got to be the one who has the final say. Let the analysts give all the information they want. And yes, John Walters goes out, sorts the contracts, does all that business, tests the personality because we need good characters. But for me, Schumacher is the one who's got to have the final say no matter what happens for me.
I agree as well. But I think looking at the players that Dublin was creating, I think all of Dublin's signings have actually been really good lads as well. Like, if you look at all the people he has brought in, I don't know how responsible he was for the Chiquinho deal, so I'll maybe not give him that. But I think if you're looking at, like, good lads, Dublin, I think, seems to have a good track record of that as well. So it just seemed to me this season that he was very restricted into what he could do, and Alex Neil wanted a big say in his defence, for his defenders, and basically giving free rein for a lot of the maybe midfield options and some of the attacking options. And those have been probably some of our best players in those positions, like your Junos, Ryan Mize, Burgers, etc. And in the defence, you look at it and it's been really, like, inconsistent, not stable all season. And you can tell it's an Alex Neil defence with the people that he's going for, like Michael Rose, Luke McNally, you know. It just screams at Kieran Clark. It just screams an Alex Neil defence. So that's why I would give him free reign, because if you can find some good people to the level of Berger and of Junho in the defence, then all of a sudden we're gaining, like, I don't know, 20 more points than we would have been beforehand.
Yeah, no arguments there, mate. So, Beck, I mean, obviously, he's mentioned a few players there. We've talked about, you know, McNally, Rose. Obviously, we've had no left-back for the vast majority of the season. Obviously, Kiana has been poor in defence, but still, you know, shown, I think, ability going forward and bits like that. So, clearly, defence is where we need to work on. I mean, who would you keep out of that back line, if any, next season?
I'm torn with Hoover because he frustrates me so much defensively. But that threat going forward, he's not been, I don't know, he's been a bit more disappointing this season than last, but they all have, so it's not just on his shoulders. I'd probably sway more to signing him than not, to be honest. He seems to have, you know, a really close bond with, like, Josh and Ty and, you know, other lads in the group. Obviously, like you say, we've got Chamadou coming back. I think he'll be a real asset next season. I thought Wilmot looked good. Someone mentioned in the comments, I thought Wilmot looked a lot better in his natural position yesterday. I don't think Rose and McNally are the answer. I don't know. I mean, it's sad to see, like, Harry Suter not even getting a sniff in Leicester's team, because, you know, he's such a good player. I wouldn't be against us trying maybe get him on loan next season. I know that's a big ask, but, I mean, he's not getting anywhere near their team. So, I don't know. I think defence is crucial. Like you say, a left-back. And a striker, I think, yeah, I don't think the strikers we've got suit the way that we play. I don't know. It's a tough one, isn't it? I think this squad have proved that they're not good enough for us to push, you know, mid-table, top half, so there needs to be changes. It's just whether we can find the right, not just talent, but they need to be the right personalities as well. We need to have the right characters in the dressing room.
What do you think's missing from them, Becky? Like, because they can put in performances like yesterday. I don't know what you thought. I was really impressed with them all over the pitch yesterday. Same against West Brom. And they can throw in these performances when they need to. And but then other times it seems that, for me, I've thought all season they've been very flaky. Like, as soon as something goes against them, they can't recover. Like, it just escalates. And do you think maybe that ability-wise, they've got a lot of it? Maybe they could do with a couple of experienced pros more in there? Like, I think they're better to Loren and Baker and Stevens are in the team, for example. Do you think sprinkle a couple of them in place, cons 46 games, would it help them?
It's like, when it just seems like when they can be arsed, to me, and that's the reason we are where we are in the league, because they're not doing it consistently enough. I think, you know, we've had one or two games where they fought back, but yeah, it's not been enough. And like you say, majority of the time when we've gone behind or something's gone against us, the Reds have dropped and they just haven't had that desire to get back in the game. But like you say, yesterday and against West Brom, they've proved what a great side that we are, especially going forward. It's just we're just not seeing it enough, and whether that's character, I don't know what it is, Dan. I don't know what it is, but it's not been good enough. And like I said earlier, great, we're more than likely safe now, but it's not been good enough this season. And for me, it's been the worst season since we came down. What do you think it is, Dan?
I think the ability's there. I think they're quite a young side, and I think we were maybe a little naive to chuck so many people in with no experience of like the Championship all in one go and expect them to sort of hit the ground running. And I think I think especially like people like Lloris, but I think we were lucky with Berger. I think he maybe makes, he sort of the rule that was it, the one that proves the rule, if you like. He hit the ground running. Juno's come on, game by game, he's improving. But then others, like Lloris, I think he's taken his time. Vidigal burst onto the scene and then dropped massively off. We don't know. He might come back next season as the player we saw at the start of the season. I think when you come over to England, it's like the games come thick and fast, which they don't get abroad. The physicality is there. The frantic nature of the games, especially in the Championship, it's end-to-end. The constant competitiveness, anyone can beat anyone. I think it's a way, like, I think a lot of players take a lot of time to adjust. And I just think maybe, we were a bit naive in chucking everyone in all at once and just, fingers crossed, let's hope that they all just click. I think giving them a second year, a lot of these players who I myself right now have probably written off, I'll be honest. Yeah, you look at him and you think, oh, he's not good enough. He's no good. Yeah, get rid of him. But you know what? I think if we were to get rid of 8, 9, 10 of the players that we signed last summer, probably 3, 4, 5 of them might be absolutely brilliant for us if we catch them next year. They've just taken a bit longer to adapt, and they might not have shown the signs of it yet, but it might just a full pre-season as well. The manager having a full pre-season, I think that's a massive thing. We always seem to get a good result with Schumacher when he's had a full week on the training ground with him, prep. So God help whoever we get in the first game of the season when he's got 6 weeks to prepare for him.
Josh actually alluded to the fact that obviously we've got a lot of players from abroad that just needed time to adapt to the English game. And I think you're right, Dan. I think that has been part of it. And they do look more comfortable. Like, Junho reminds me of when Bojan first came to Stoke. I've said this before, and, you know, he wasn't comfortable with the physicality of the game, but he changed that. He adapted. He bulked himself up a little bit, and he adapted to the English game, and what a player he turned out to be. And I do think it'll be the same with the likes of, like, Junho.
Yeah, I think they probably, like, watch a few games and are probably wincing at Conor with the sort of the tackles and shoulder barges. And like you said, I think, again, the speed of the game, isn't it? Just how quick it moves about an end-to-end. Like, you've got to, there's no let-up at all, is there, in a championship match? Whereas, like I say, if you watch a La Liga game or a Serie A game, you know, the defence can just hold on to the ball for a bit. A lot of Premier League games are going that way now, aren't they, as well? Teams will just knock the ball about, just take the sting out of it. You generally don't get that well, unless it was Stoke under Alex Neil, that seemed to be how we played. We took the sting well and truly out of them games, didn't we? Knocking it about. But, yeah, I think, like I say, second season now, when they're more adapted, I think we might just see a couple of those players prosper who we may be, as a sort of a fan base and whatever, ready to, so I say, write off.
I was just going to say, I wouldn't mind seeing a bit of Joyic, to be honest with you, next year. I mean, he was a weird one. He was brought in, and I think it was very openly admitted that he wasn't going to be for this season. And he seems to have not really done anything for the under-21s or whatever either. And I'm just curious as to whether this is just going to be another Diego Arismendi type situation where he never settles in. But I think it'd be interesting to see him, because I think there's, when I have the little bits I have seen of him, you know, he seems to have pace, and I think he does like to work on the wings a little bit more, which I think is suitable for what Shuey wants to do, probably longer term. Be interesting to see if there's anyone like that who kind of comes in. But by and large, when you look across this team, I think, you know, you mentioned about, like, people not maybe being Schumacher's types of people, but I think Ryan May could really come into his own next year. I think if he wants to play these attacking fullbacks, we're going to need someone, I think, to try and keep the ball at that top end of the pitch. And as we've seen, when Ryan's been out, no one's capable of doing that in the current setup. So I definitely think there's a place for Ryan. I think we haven't seen even remotely his full potential just yet. So I think there's definitely someone there. But beyond that, if I'm honest with you, Dan, to answer your question, I don't see anyone really screaming out off the top of my head. I'm sure I'm missing somebody, but no, I think, like I said, what I said to you, like, Junior, I think he's going to be a cracking right back. The fact that that guy's, what, 19, I think he may be 19, 20. The bits we've seen from him, again, he looks really good quality. He, again, could be another player in the future who we're talking about big money for. So I think there's definitely an element of that. And that brings in, the, you know, back to very briefly, you know, the Hoover conversation. Like, I know that even if we want to sign him, I don't see us signing him permanently, because I think the value that we probably have, the money we'd have to fork out for him, I stand by it. I don't think we should spend that money on a right back. I just think it's too much, especially when you've got Junior there. I would actually rather a more experienced, let's say more traditional right back, for me, who, you know, could complement Junior and give him that a bit of experience and that bit of a test. So no, I think that's very, very simply, that's kind of where I am with all that, if I'm honest with you. Dan, I'll bring you back in for 2 seconds, mate. I'm conscious of time because, as we know, Twitter does not like working beyond 1 hour. But I need to get through to some of these comments, and then we'll have a few final thoughts kind of going into it. Vanessa says, Shuey changes every game because it's got Argyle 101 points last season. It's what he does, especially with a large squad all training well and wanting to play. Scott says, next season we can't make too many changes. We try and keep consistency. I totally agree with that. 1,000% sign Iverson, who has come out of his shell and proven he's a good goalkeeper. And yeah, I agree. He was always a good goalkeeper for me. He's just taken a bit longer than I think anyone thought. 2 new centre-backs, 1 left back, 1 striker is a must. We said at the start of the season this was a rebuilding process with players. Yeah, I'd rather spend what, you know, probably not going to have a lot of money, but whatever money we've got to spend, I'd rather us go and get 3 or 4 quality players to make up that, rather than trying to go absolutely gung-ho in summer. Just enough to give us some decent quality that we can go into the summer with, and we can reassess in January if needs be. A number of different comments, as always, out of blinking order because of Twitter. So Venice also says, hear a lot of if we keep Berger at bay, Baker next season type comments. Any reason to believe we won't? I expect the first two will still be settling into the country and culture and the latter getting game time. We may have kind of already talked on that since you actually posted the comment, Vanessa, really. But yeah, I agree. I think it's just because they've done well. But like we said earlier, I think, I don't see as they've not done enough to be a Premier League player just yet, which is where they would probably go in the future. So I think that's where we'll keep them for another season or the very, very least till January. To have a quick look, some several more. Tom's posted another couple. Dan cannot hear. You're always deaf anyway, Dan. Tom says, up the Mighty Potters. Cheers, Tom. Dan says, would you be interested to get your views on Berger and where he fits in best? I think we've looked more solid without him in the team. That's an interesting one.
I think it depends on the opposition and what you're hoping to do. I think if yesterday it was just perfect having Thompson there to pretty much destroy and just give the ball to somebody else. He was very sort of like direct in his approach. It was very simplified for him. And with Berger, I think if you push in that kind of game, he would have been perfect, pushed on a little bit more. And I think he could actually go on. I think he could be quite a good goal scoring midfielder if he was given a bit of a rein to get forward. In other games, I think to have Berger sort of sitting a bit deeper and just spraying passes about and sort of a bit of a deep line playmaker kind of role. So it's giving an FM kind of shows on it is, I think there's other games when that'd be perfect as well. And we can just have everything play in front of him.
Yeah, cool. And the final ones for comments-wise. So straight up and down says, Walters will have the final say. Schumacher or whoever, if he ends up getting replaced, will have a role in it. But ultimately, it's on Walters. I think that's a big call to give to John Walters making the decisions at this point in his particular career with the club.
I think it is technically, that is part, I think, of the role. It was definitely part of the role for Ricky Martin that he would sort of sign off on the transfers. But I do feel with John Walters that he comes across as somebody who would trust the person, that as in, like, your job is to find me these players. I trust that you have found me the best option. And he's not going to keep overruling with somebody he would prefer, because otherwise then that sort of makes Jared Dublin's role sort of irrelevant, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he had the final say on all signings.
Yeah, I think it's a strange one because I know that sort of Rob last week sort of alluded, didn't he, with Ricky Martin, and he had to push him and push him, and he was like, oh, it's a joint sort of decision. And he went, yeah, but if you want A and somebody else wants B, the manager wants B, who do you pick? And in the end, he was like, well, we go with the player I want.
Yeah.
I was like, I think that's interesting. I think that's something the fans were sort of, a lot of fans were calling for, isn't it, that they wanted somebody at the club where if the manager left, everything just carried on as normal because things were being done. The manager was just a cog in the whole system rather than everything just falls apart. Like, rather than being the main piece where everything just falls off if he leaves, it's like, well, if the manager leaves, you just get another manager and everything just carries on as it was.
Don't get me wrong. I think that Walters understands what it means to play for Stoke. He understands the area, he understands the fans. Don't get me wrong, I think he's a great person to have in regards to signings.
Yeah, and I think he'll converse with Jared Dublin as well, won't he? He'll be telling Dublin what he wants, both as technically, positionally, but also as a person and, what he wants to see as a personality coming into the club as well.
I think that's just it with John. That's the one thing he will give us above anything else. He will not allow any idiots into this club. I think that's very, very clear. As much as he might be there to look after the financials, and yes, okay, be the conduit between scouting and the manager, I totally agree. I think if he senses any potential bad eggs. I don't think they'll make it very far at all. This.
Can I just want to say just before you close, Mike? I just missed the Keanu Hoover stuff before, didn't I? I came back. I imagined you were. That's sort of what you were discussing. For me, I think the simple way around it, from what I can gather, he'll still have, I think he's 3.6 million left on his FFP value at Wolves for next season. I don't think they're going to get that for him anywhere. I can't see him going back and being a regular at Wolves or, you know, a decent squad member enough. I still think they'll want to cash in on him as they can. So the best option I can see for all parties is if we loan him for another season, but with an obligation to buy next summer, when obviously his FFP value drops to 1.8 million. If we offer them 2.5 to 3 million next summer, say we'll take him on loan for another 12 months and we will agree to buy him next summer for this, I think it gets around all the financial problems that they might get of selling him at that fee. And also he knows that he's settling in here permanently as well, and then the deal just, it's basically a permanent deal, but it's not going to be made officially permanent for another 12 months.
I can see that happening as well, mate. I really can. So cool. Like I said, we're going to kind of start to finish up now. John, apologies, mate. I've not come to you just yet. But Scott says next season we can't make many changes. We need to try and keep consistent, like I said earlier on. I think Archie had one before it decided to chuck it somewhere random in the actual feed. Archie Gillen says, agree with Mike. Archie, if you make comments like that, you'll get yours read out all the time. Feel like we should take our time rather than rushing in with loads of signs in the summer and by bringing loads of bodies in. Wilmot's the best centre-back at the club. Coming back from injury has been hard for him as he's not been given a consistent run in the squad. Playing an odd game, then being dropped. You need consistency in Wilmot alongside a centre-back of great ability. He will prove his worth. Scott, you don't need to convince me and Dan on that one. Me and him both feel that he is the best centre-back at this club, and I still think he is. He was player of the season, obviously, the other year, and 100% for me, he's better than McNally and Rose by a long, long way when he's on form.
I think it's easy with Wilmot to forget that he's had two serious injuries within the space of about 6 months. Like, he had the Brandon Thomas Asante incident, didn't he, this time last year, where he literally broke his back. And then he's come back. Obviously, he's missed a bit of pre-season. He's come back. He's started playing again. And then he's had that really, really bad knee injury, colliding with the post, and was out again. So that's two pretty serious setbacks. You know, he's costing part of his pre-season. Then when he is fit and he's playing, he's got to reset his fitness again because he's been out for such a long time. I think it is easy to forget that as well. And you have to sort of bear these things in mind when you're wondering why a player maybe isn't playing at full speed.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, because we might not need, you know, three or four centre-backs. I think we might already have one in the door that'll do the job. McNally, I wouldn't be keen to see him back next season, if I'm honest with you. I think Rose has definitely been better, without a doubt. I think you mentioned it earlier on about, them too. I'm with you. I understand that, like, the stats might say otherwise, but they still don't fill me with confidence. I think McNally's obviously been at fault for a handful of goals in recent times. Rose, I'm not sure, is the playing it out from the back type centre back that I think he's going to want. I think Wilmot can definitely do that. I think we've seen some of his passing range as well. I would definitely say that he's that type of player. But yeah, I'm feeling another probably centre back loan might be on the cards with that one.
The stats shocked me, Mike, when I saw that with the second best defensive partnership in the league or something.
Yeah, that surprised me. I don't think anybody thought that was the case. I don't know. I couldn't tell you the them stats because of X, Y, and Z. Like, it just felt totally and utterly wrong. I think McNally's still only young, isn't he? Is McNally 23, 24?
23, yeah.
There's probably a good player in there, but I don't think we've seen it personally. He's been very average for me most of the season.
I mean, we were that good yesterday. He was channeling his inner Beckenbauer, wasn't he? He was going marauding right through the team and right into the penalty box from the halfway line. Getting carried away with himself.
John, you've got disconnected, I think, a couple of times, mate, but hopefully your connection will stay. What's your overall thoughts, mate? We've talked about that.
And what are your thoughts on Alex Morris since his move up into the first team staff? I don't know how much more experienced he is than Schumacher, but I do think he's definitely offered a positive influence within the setup within his move up to the first team. And I just wonder as well if you guys think maybe Schumacher and Walters should maybe reach out to some more experienced personnel.
I would agree that I think we need the experience. That's the one area that we've really lacked. Forget that, the quality of play. We know where we've lacked in that sense, I think. But I totally agree with you. When we think about leaders, you know, people go, oh, Josh Lorenz not a leader. And you know what? I probably agree. I don't think he's a captain, right? I think Berger's got the material to be, a captain. I think I can definitely see that. But when I look across that defence, I wouldn't give the captain's armband to any one of them in defence. And look, as much as I like Wilmot, he's not there for me either. But again, material going forward, I think he is. Wouldn't give it to Iverson, the goalkeeping. Midfield, Baker. Yeah, you kind of go with Baker, wouldn't you? Jordan Thompson, probably again for his experience. But I don't think either of them are going to be full-time players all next year. So it depends how much also value, I guess, you put on a captain. But I do think we need experience. I want to see, this is probably really old-fashioned, I want to see a big commanding centre-back alongside a Wilmot or someone along those lines. Someone who's just going to get his head on stuff and get it away and not be all pretty. Now, that might not be where we are in football anymore. But I think you've got to have a blend. And I think we've been very lightweight in defence. And it's what's going to be interesting as well is actually up front. And I know we talk about, maybe not experience here so much, but we've obviously, again, no Wesley. There'll be no Tyrese Campbell next year unless he does a complete and utter U-turn. Obviously, we've got Ryan May, no Dwight Gayle. Is Emre Tezgal? He's having a good time out on loan. Does Emre come back? Again, not experience, but Nathan Lowe's not worked out so much yet. There's a lot to do up front. But yeah, as a whole, John, answers your question, I want to see some experience. So I'm not sure if Dan wants to take the Alex Morris conversation, maybe.
Yeah, I think with Morris, it's interesting that obviously he came in and he sort of was working alongside, and then he sort of made a permanent sort of semi-permanent / permanent sort of move up into the first team, didn't he? And it seems to be around the fact that, like I say, there's a lot of youngsters in and around that squad, and I think the key now, I mean, I think he's we've seemed to be playing better since he's come in. I'll put it that way. Definitely, I think that. I think we've improved in that respect. I think we look more organised, which may or may not be down to him. It may just be adjusting to Schumacher's style. There's very little time he's had on the training ground. I think obviously that international break was the first time he'd had a sort of a sustained spell with the side since he came in January, in December. But what I would like to see now, because I think we're safe. I think it's pretty much safe in that, aren't we? And we've got such a lot of good.
Have we lost Daniel? Have we?
Oh, I think he's gone.
I'll just keep it brief to what I was saying before. I'd like to see these last two games now that I pretty much say we're safe. I think that Morris can exactly even help with Schumacher and give a little bit of an ear to it in his ear. Sol Sadibi, Nathan Lowe, Tommy Simkin. I think there's others as well. I mean, Ryan Shawcross has been really praising up three of the defenders in the under-21s who are all sort of 16, 17 years old. I'd like to see them. Why not play Wilmot or Rose last couple of games, 45 minutes, half-time swap, put another one in. Give them a taste. Give them a taste. Let them have a look. Yeah, there's a lot of players nowadays. A lot more players are playing football at 17, 18. than they were before. You never know how they're going to react. And you know what? If they come in and they don't perform fantastically, at least they go into this summer going, right, I know what that standard is now. I know what it's like to play against Southampton. I know what it's like to play against Bristol City in the Championship. I can go away and I've got something. I know what I've got to aim for. I know how far off that I am. And I think that kind of experience can be invaluable to a young player to know where he's at standard-wise. And I think Stoke then can say, actually, he played really well there. Do you know what? If we need a centre-half next year, we can rely on him because he came in and he did a good job. Or they might say, you know what? He looks shaky. I think we need to gain some games. Game out on loan next year. So these last couple of games, I'd like to see, like I say, a few changes, but with that in mind, not just sort of changing. I know people say really well they don't like the changes. I'd like to see Solskjaer play both these last two games. Stick Tommy Simkin in goal. I know Mike wants to see Frankie in goal, doesn't he, for the Bristol City game at the end. but yeah, I think that's what we can now learn from these last two matches.
Frankie Fielding, that's what I want. I still don't believe the guy exists. Ant says about Jay Rodriguez. I think I made a brief comment on the last pod on this one. A couple of years too late. This has got like a Dwight Gayle all over it for me, this one, where if we signed in 3 or 4 years ago, yeah, maybe it was worth a shot. Now, I'm not so sure. Beyond being a player for the last 15, 20 minutes every now and then, which, I mean, we've had that with Wesley. That didn't work out either. I think beyond him just doing that, which I'm not sure he's going to want to come here and sit on our bench, to be honest with you, especially he's going to be on a decent wage. I would be surprised. Well, not surprised, because I know we almost signed him before, but away from that, I'd be surprised now if it's just not a... an old link just trying to resurface because it's easy news. I'm not sure. Sound, I think we're pretty much done there. Elliot, Beck, any other final thoughts from you before we close up?
I'll let Elliot go because I feel like we've cut him out a little bit.
Sorry, Elliot. I blame Ben.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Final thoughts from me. I think the Rodriguez one's a little bit of a weird one because I think... we've kind of been down that road before, but I mean, we were linked with Ashley Barnes in the summer, this summer, and I'd take him when how he played for Norwich against us. So, and everyone else is saying the same thing. Oh, he's just another Sam Vokes and everything else going on to it. So it depends. It's very 50-50 because it just seems like a quote Alex Neil signing, like I was mentioning beforehand, and not a Dublin sort of signing. So I just want to see more Dublin players mixed in, you know, with like the current lads we've got at the moment, because I generally think we do have a good squad. I think once they've settled in, and you forget, like, this is Vidigal's first year in England, this is Lerris's first year in England, loads of players' first year in the country, Juno's first year, and so you can see some of them now starting to settle, like Juno, but then it sort of just seems like once they've settled, then there's new people into the group that would settle quicker with them as well. So I'll just be excited to see like more sort of Dublin signings and not being so restricted in that area.
Well, let's hope him and his scouts have been doing the hard yards. No doubt they're already looking at people and having conversations now ready for the summer. I'm sure they're still busy. But cool. Okay. I think that pretty much does this. We were going to go on for an hour. We've gone on for about an hour and 20 minutes. So, Twitter's going to hate us for that. I won't bore with the details as to why, but yeah, it's about pen in the backside. So, yeah, either way, thanks to everyone for joining us. This will probably be out on a normal pod feed anyway at some point tomorrow. But either way, pod will be back as normal. Good to get the 3 points in there. I think we're pretty there or thereabouts as safe, unless some crazy results kind of go against us. But yeah, Luke, thanks to everyone. John, Elliot, Beck, Dan, obviously, thanks to everyone for listening. We'll be obviously back with you again on the normal pods on Friday.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.